This is Will's Band of the Week for February 11th, 2024. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from the Brooklyn Bureau.
Here I am.
Remember, there was a Pavement album called Slanted and Enchanted, right?
Yes.
And David, tonight is Connected and Congested. That could be the next album.
That's right.
But
if they have any new material, which they don't, but yes.
But the congestion will not stop you from...
I just have a bad cold.
Doesn't sound like COVID because it sounds like a very convincing cold.
It's a cold obtained by hanging around with 3 and 4 year olds.
Oh yeah, they're good at that, right?
Yes.
Transmission, cold transmission.
They have all kinds of things. They have stomach flu. They have everything.
Oh
everything
God,
you can think of.
You don't want to get the stomach flu. That's the worst, right?
Yes.
Ugh.
They're all bad. Good.
All right, but I think we can pronounce you ready to rock, right?
Ready to ruminate, maybe, would be more appropriate.
All right.
Ready to reminisce.
Well, there's enough music that it's just unstoppable.
That's true. We have, that's true. It's starting to heat up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to see. Way to go, 2024.
Yes.
Should we talk about what didn't make the cut? Or should we just leave that one off?
there's plenty that, I mean, you know, there's things that didn't make the cut, yes.
I guess that just happens.
I can think of more than one, for sure. But they're out there.
Yeah. And that's just the way it is.
The Taylor Swift album will be out in April. I'm sure we have to talk about that, so, right?
We'll do like a 2-hour special with a track-by-track analysis, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I heard that being in the Brooklyn Bureau, you are in the hotbed of indie rock stardom. Therefore, you have live reports. Is that correct?
I do have live reports from the last time I was on. Yes.
I think there was an indication that you had some tickets last time. I can't remember if you mentioned what they were, but there was anticipation. And now
I tried to be mysterious about what they were, so I probably didn't mention it. So live report number one was Torres, who this was my second time seeing Torres since 2021. And all I can say is, if you have a chance to see her live, she's on fire. She was on fire last time. She's on fire this time.
Cool.
And I had a good spot. Such a good spot that the person I was standing up in front with, we were getting harassed by a woman who really, really wanted to be stage side.
Mm-hmm.
So she could get her videos. And at one point, she asked me to step aside so she could do it, get in front. And I was perfectly willing to do that, be, you know, a gentleman, and I did that, but then I realized that she was very drunk and really wanted to be where I and my stage side companion were, and she ended up having a fit, having a fight with a couple of people up in front and throwing beer on them and then leaving in a huff. So it was an eventful time there, right by the stage. But you know,
you try to be a nice guy, and look what reward you get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I didn't get beer thrown at me, but
that's good.
Some people did. So,
hmm.
but it was worth it.
Cool. Worth it. Yep. I haven't seen her live, but I've kind of heard, or just maybe you told me the last time you saw her, that so I have the impression that she was a dynamic live performer.
Absolutely. Absolutely dynamic. It was a weird situation, actually, because most of the set consisted of songs from an album which was out the very day that we were there at the concert. So the tour had actually started 2 days before. So the people in Philly, for example, didn't even have the opportunity to hear the record. We had had a day to hear the record, and that was most of the set, but it was still great. So that's how great she is. She can surmount that obstacle right there.
I would think you'd want to do, maybe do the album release show, right? And then and then maybe wait a week or something so people can listen to it.
Yeah, you would think that we should have had more than, 16 hours of exposure. The woman I was down in front and next to by the stage had actually already listened to the record like 3 or 4 times, so she was devoted.
That's impressive cramming for the test.
That was cramming. That was cramming, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe some people like to hear a bunch of new stuff for the first time, just fresh, there's some merit to that, too.
Well, it helps that the album is really good, but I would have appreciated even more songs from the last one, which is also really good, and which I know better. But anyway, so live report number 2 is our friend Mike had a big birthday, and he decided that for his birthday he was going to book a concert at a club called Berlin. There's Berlin, which is a small club on the Lower East Side and holds about 200 people, and then there's Under A, which is Berlin, basically Berlin's basement, which holds even fewer. But it's intimate, but it's a nice little bar, and with a very tiny little stage. And so he booked an act called Monograms, very good. A band called Vita Reyes, who I did some research, and they were actually at South By in 2019. They've been around for a while. They're usually a 3-piece, but there were only 2 of them, and electronics and stuff for this gig. And the headliner was a band called My Favorite, which had its heyday around the first decade of this century and had a couple of very well-regarded albums. And they're kind of retired from the scene, but they're kind of coming back slowly. So they actually have a gig coming up in New York, and this was I think the first real show they've had in quite some time. Different lineup than they originally had. A bunch of new people, new singer to go with the lead singer, and just great. It was just a great, great concert.
So Mike booked this himself?
Yep. I think he chose all the bands. I think he talked to them all beforehand, and they're all friends of Mike.
Did you have to have an exclusive invitation, or was it open to the public?
Both. If you were a friend of Mike, you could get in, with a plus one. And if you were not, then I think you had to pay $10 or something.
Sounds pretty cool.
It was. It was very cool. I'm thinking maybe I should do it on my next, major birthday.
Yeah. All the coolest bands in Brooklyn.
Think of all the bands. But, Mike being Mike, he doesn't just know the cool bands. He hangs out with the cool bands.
Yeah.
So they know him. So it's much easier for him to arrange something like this.
Yeah.
Shockingly, Gustav was not one of the bands on the list. You would have assumed that it would have been Gustav.
They're a Mike favorite, right?
But they were probably busy or something. I don't know.
All right. That's good.
So those are my live reports so far. I'm thinking maybe I should go to that My Favorite show, because My Favorite was really, really good.
That name is just really vaguely familiar. I don't know if it just sounds familiar because it's kind of a simple name, or whether I've actually heard of them. But very
They're
cool.
They're one of those highly literate bands like the Magnetic Fields.
Oh, okay.
Really great lyrics, really interesting stuff.
Well, Mike is typically in Austin every year, right? Is he going to be there this year?
I have not heard anything, pro or con, but I would put money on it that he'll be there.
And we'll make the exciting announcement that you and I will be there to scout bands for Will's Band of the Week.
That is correct. That is correct.
So if anybody knows of any bands that are playing down there that we should see, you can make recommendations, right?
Yes. Just as we need to get listener top 10 lists, we need to get listener recommendations for South by. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we have only, what, 89 bands that we're interested in seeing now? It's probably getting up higher. You and me combined, we're up over 100 now, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to manage that. I think we need to winnow it a little bit. I don't know.
I kind of
and not only that, but as you pointed out, first they had the first tranche of bands. I don't know how many hundred. Then they had the second tranche, and now what they're doing is adding every week.
Yep.
They put up like 20 new names every week. They've done that twice, and I assume they're going to keep doing that.
I think last week was 70. And the week before was 90, but they were like, there weren't that many that we've heard of, but they're trickling out. And
oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was a smaller batch.
Yeah, okay. It's a lot of,
that's even crazier.
I think there are more Austin bands there are so many Austin bands, and maybe a lot of them are like, we really like to play, and they're kind of on the wait list or something. But
I have quite a lot of Austin bands just on my list, so.
Yeah, there are a lot of good ones.
Yep.
So, all right, it's going to be cool. And they're starting to trickle out the schedule a little bit now. Not a lot, but enough to already have some conflicts of like two bands that I really want to see playing at the same time. So, classic. But nobody plays down there just once anyway. So, you know, you just got to find, the daytime shows and stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I noticed we seem to have a big component of good Irish bands this year.
Right.
Got a list of three or four already, maybe five.
Yep.
That I want to see.
Maybe there will be one in this podcast that we'll talk about.
There might even be one in this podcast. That's true.
I realize we are totally disrespecting North America tonight. So,
yes.
Yeah.
We're spanning the globe is what we're doing.
Yeah, we're spanning the globe. Well, should we do it? Just go to Ireland, Northern Ireland, right? No, not Northern Ireland. They're from
Galway.
Galway.
There is a band that we're planning to see in Austin from Northern Ireland. So it's yes.
Yeah,
we're covering the island.
Okay. Both
political entities are being covered.
This is straight west from Dublin. Is Galway on the other side, on the western coast. And the band's called New Dad. And I kind of think there should be a space between the new and the dad, but there's not. So stylistic choice they made. Now they've got to stay with it because it was their choice.
Yes, and seems like Dad is a very popular band name these days. So many dads out there.
There's a lot of dads. Yeah. Yep. All respect to the dads. That's good.
Yes.
So, all right. The album is called Madra, and it was sort of released on some level last September, but now it's like a re-release or something. So we can call it a January 2024 release, right?
Yes.
That's it. We've told everybody all about it. So, I guess we'll play some music. Do you want to take the first pick?
Well, quite a record, really is. Darn. The one that really stands out, although there's a few that stand out, but it is number 6, Nosebleed. Really got me the first time I heard this record.
You have
That's New Dad from Galway, Ireland.
Yes, ethereal and very beautiful.
On their way to Austin, Texas, to wow the crowd in March.
Yes.
We'll see if they do.
But, to compete with all the other Irish bands that are wowing, or that are vying for attention.
Exactly. It seems like they usually do like an Ireland showcase thing, where all the Ireland bands get together. I wonder if some of them think, like, why do we have to play with all the other Ireland bands? Why can't we just mix it up a little bit? Maybe they can do both.
I think they do both. Last year, yeah, there was a Scottish, I don't remember an Irish showcase, but there was a Scottish, and I think there was a Welsh, wasn't there?
Yeah, that sounds right. I remember being in that venue because
they all played at the Welsh.
I think I sort of stumbled into it, and then, were you there? And Craig and Amanda were there, and I think Mike was there. It's like you just, without even pre-planning, you stumble into the same people, which is kind of fun. So,
yeah
okay. I'm going to play a track from this New Dad album called Madra. Let's go with number 4, Change My Mind. New Dad. They've got some hooks, and sometimes the hooks are a little sneaky, where they take a little while to infiltrate. But then the whole album is pretty consistent, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's very good from start to finish. So this is what, a 5-piece with
It's either 4 or 5. 5 sounds right, because the singer just sings, right?
Yes. One young woman and a bunch of guys.
Yep. Classic lineup.
Classic indie lineup.
Seems to work, though.
Yes.
All right, one more track. What are we going to play?
Well, I've got several choices here. You know what? Nightmares is a great track. I believe that would be... Where is that?
It's number 9.
Number 9.
I'm not afraid to die.
That's New Dad. Just a little sampling of the 11-track album, Madra, which has a lot of interesting stuff on it. Some good catchy melodies and good kind of, I don't know, it's just mid-tempo indie rock, I guess.
Kind of, I guess you could call it a little bit of a dream pop kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. They are currently touring around UK and Ireland, and then they're going to be in Austin, and then they're going to be back touring around the Netherlands and the UK.
Wow. That's pretty solid.
So they're working their way up.
They either have good management, or they already have a pretty good following to be able to set up that big of a tour, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Check out New Dad from Galway. I have a good friend who has a second home in Galway. They went back to Ireland for their, because he's Irish. So it's kind of like, it's like me going to Scotland, only to much greater extent, because I actually live there like several months out of the year. So, but I don't know if he's a fan of New Dad. Haven't asked him. But Galway seems pretty cool. The photos that I've seen are pretty amazing.
Yes, it's supposed to be beautiful. I just looked, and they have 400,000 listeners on Spotify, so they're well on their way.
Maybe they're too popular. This is a problem. Like, bands that we see in Austin that are too popular. Sometimes you don't know how popular a band. Like,
you mean the wet leg syndrome? Is that what you're talking about?
Or, well, even, you know, aside from that, like, bands that have, like, a pretty big following, but not in the United States, right? And so I guess maybe that means it won't be jam-packed in Austin. But, you know, there was one band you were looking at, and you sent me this list of a few more bands the other day, and I looked, and one of them had an album that was number one in the UK. I mean, like, what? Number one on the UK charts? I mean, that's nuts. So maybe they'll play at a venue bigger than 200 people. I don't know.
Well, definitely the word of mouth is going to be out on that. Just on that basis, people are going to say, wait, I got to check this out.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Okay. To introduce our next band, I have a trivia question for you.
Yes.
How far is it? You can't look it up now. I just want you to, like, tell me what you know.
Okay.
How far is it from Dunedin to Auckland, New Zealand?
Well, I don't know. If they're on... I don't even know if they're on separate islands. There's two islands, right?
Well, I have to look at the map again.
Two islands in New Zealand?
Well, I don't... They're sort of... Okay, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, okay. There are two. There are two, but they're kind of really close to each other.
Yeah.
Not quite connected. Yep.
I think they're on different... okay, I'm going to say 200 miles.
All right. It's actually 1,425 kilometers. That's about, 1,000 miles. 20-hour drive. So it's even farther than...
1,000 kilometers is only 600 miles.
Yeah, but it's 1,400 kilometers. So that's like...
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, so here's the thing.
I didn't even know you could go 1,000 miles in New Zealand.
Yeah, it's very...
In the Pacific.
It's very thin, kind of, and it's completely kind of north-south. So Dunedin's way at the south, and Auckland's at the north, which means, since it's in the southern hemisphere, obviously Auckland must be warmer. Auckland's like straight east of Melbourne. I'm looking at that now. Well, okay.
So when we talk about Flying Nun Records and all that, we're talking about the Dunedin sound, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And then, okay, right in the middle would be Wellington. These are like cities you've heard of, but you have no idea where they are, right?
Sure.
And so the reason I'm bringing this up is there's this guy, Kane Strang, and I actually talked about him on the podcast on, I have the date here. This is a little archive trivia. April 3rd, 2016, I did a podcast with Grant where we talked about like a whole bunch of different things. One of them was this guy, Kane Strang, who was a kind of a jangle pop guitar guy from Dunedin. And so now it just turns out he's got a new band called Office Dog. And they say that they're based in Auckland. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, Kane just decided to go up the street, kind of like Nicholas when he goes from Melbourne to Sydney. You know, just kind of drive up the road there, That's a long drive. So
yeah, I guess you don't relocate. It's like moving from Melbourne to Perth, or going to Perth for the weekend, which you don't do. Right?
Yeah. Like going from
it's a big commitment.
How about like going from Perth to what's the place the go betweens are from? That's
Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane. Okay. Like Perth to Brisbane. Wouldn't that be fun? I'm going to look that up. Let's just see if we're going to go
at least 2,000 miles, maybe more.
So if Nicholas were to move to Perth and he wanted to take a little holiday in Brisbane, he could drive there, but the drive would be 46 hours.
Hmm.
Or he could walk, but then that would take 37 days. It's
and
kind of a long walk.
You need to take plenty of water.
Yeah, you'd have to take a lot of water.
Going to be a lot of spots where there's no where to get any supplies at all.
Yep. I wonder if they have, with those distances, I wonder if electric cars are having a hard time getting, traction, because you wouldn't have enough chargers in between the cities, you know? When we were on
in the middle there, yeah, you'd probably, but, you know, there's probably only a couple big highways, so once you cover those, you're probably okay.
You kind of know the area between Albuquerque and Denver.
Yes.
So when we had our travel adventures and we rented a car to go from Albuquerque to Denver, and they said, well, we'll give you two choices, a big pickup truck or an electric car. And my first thought was, oh, it'd be really cool to rent an electric car. And the guy said, I'm not sure if I'd recommend that because there might not be many chargers. I'm like, okay, I don't want that hassle. So went with the pickup truck. But, you know, if you're going like Melbourne to Sydney, I wonder how many chargers they've got in there, you know. Nicholas needs to tell us this.
Yes, that'll be a topic for the next Nicholas podcast.
All right, so Kane Strang, it was just a name in my mind from several years ago that I thought, I remember this guy being a good Aussie jangle, not Aussie, New Zealand jangle
Kiwi,
rocker guy.
Kiwi.
Yeah. so it was fun to see that he's got another band now. They're kind of pretty crunchy, loud jangle sometimes. And then he throws in some like sensitive pop, like I think sounds like Alex G on a couple tracks. So I kind of like the whole thing. So it's Office Dog, and the album is called Spiel. And should we do the obvious? I think we will. We'll play track two.
Sounds good. What is track two?
It's called Antidote.
Okay.
Slipping through the
It's Office Dog. The album is Spiel.
Yes. And, you know, to be politically correct, we're supposed to refer to New Zealand as, and I don't know how to pronounce it properly, Aotearoa, New Zealand, or just Aotearoa.
Oh.
Is that... And in fact, I just looked it up, and of the three musicians in Office Dog, one of them, it seems, is an indigenous, from an indigenous New Zealand family.
Oh, cool. I was unaware of that, so that's cool.
Yes. It's semi-official to use the, both. It's kind of like when they, when they've renamed all the cities in India from the British version to the actual Indian version of their names.
I don't know. I was just talking about that.
There's no Calcutta, but there is a Kolkata.
Yeah.
Sometimes they sound similar. Sometimes they don't sound the same at all. So in this case, Aotearoa, if I'm saying it right, which I probably am not.
I just found that. And I had no familiarity with that before. So, God, what an educational podcast we are.
Indeed, indeed. We're into geography, ethnography, all the geographies.
Hey, there's even a thing here. How to pronounce Aotearoa. Aotearoa? Here, let's play it. Here's how you pronounce it. I'll cut out the commercial.
We are looking at how to pronounce the original Maori name, indigenous name, for the country known in English as New Zealand. This name means in Maori, the land of the long white cloud. How do you say it? In Maori, it is said as Aotearoa, Aotearoa. In English, it is usually pronounced as Aotearoa, Aotearoa, from Maori, Aotearoa. And now you know. Here are more videos on how to pronounce more Kiwi names and words whose pronunciations aren't exactly always obvious. Some interesting Maori names in there. I'll see you there to learn more. Thanks for watching.
So, Aotearoa?
Mm-hmm. Which means what? The land of what?
The long something cloud? Something like a long, narrow cloud or something like that. mm-hmm. All right. There you go. God, we're always just onto this stuff. So back to this Office Dog album. You got a pick, David?
I have three. So which one should I do?
The best one, probably.
I don't know. I think I'm going to go with In the Red.
That would be number 7.
Okay.
Smile.
That's Office Dog. Mm-hmm. Also coming to Austin. And they're moving up on my priority list every time I listen to them. So should be a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. So that means that two-thirds of this podcast is actually South by Southwest preview.
Right, exactly. We could preview about 80 more bands if we wanted to.
True.
But realistically, true. You know, you kind of make little priority determinations in your head, kind of, right? And so some of these are like a mild curiosity if the schedule breaks in a certain way, and others are like higher priority. The tougher calls for me are some of the bands that I really, really like that I've seen before that are coming back maybe from previous years, and I know they're so good. They're like, you know, absolutely
right,
like a surefire great show.
Right.
So if there's one of those against like some with a conflict with some new band I've never seen, it's going to be kind of hard, right? It's a tough decisions. So
it is. It's tough. And but you know, the thing about South by, especially when you have those such short sets, is you just never know when you're going to somebody that you maybe isn't even on your list.
Yeah,
you'll run into and you'll say, "Wow, that was the greatest thing I've heard, you know, all week." So you just right. never know.
Right, that's part of the fun of it. All right, I'll pick another one. Let's do number four, Warmer. That's Office Dog from Aotearoa.
Indeed. From the far north of Aotearoa.
Yep. Where it's probably warm. I kind of feel like it'd be warm in Dunedin also. Doesn't it seem like it would be?
Well, what is it? It's high summer, right?
Yeah, right now it should be. I was just thinking like overall climate.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking at it right now. The Dunedin is cool. Like year round. The warmest month in Dunedin is January with a January and February with an average high of 63 Fahrenheit, and the coldest month has in July is an average high of 49.
I guess you're getting close to Antarctica down there.
Hmm? Maybe. All right, we're going to look at.
Well, that's why Mr. Strang left Dunedin. It was too cold. He had to go to Auckland.
Makes a lot of sense. Actually, Auckland looks like a really nice climate. So there are several months where the average high is in the 70s Fahrenheit, and then the coldest month. Actually, in July, the average high is 58 low 45, and it rains 15 days. So it can be kind of rainy. But overall, still, I mean, I think you could do worse than Auckland.
Right. No real winter in Auckland.
Yep. So, okay, that last Office Dog track, I thought there was a little Alex G in there, right?
Definitely. Sounds like the last Alex G record.
Yeah. So, and since Alex G has basically achieved indie rock stardom now, I think he's opening for Foo Fighters in a stadium tour.
He's moving past indie rock stardom, moving into regular stardom.
I know. Yeah. So, well, good for him. And that's pretty cool. All from a bunch of random Bandcamp releases that nobody listened to. And again, we should have bought Alex G's stock, but that's been an issue. That you can't buy indie rock stock, because if you could, we'd be millionaires.
That's true. Maybe we should have a special feature each time somebody graduates from indie rock stardom into the upper reaches.
Yeah.
You know, like Mitski.
Right.
She's not indie anymore. She's just Mitski.
I know.
And Alex G, he's about to be not indie anymore.
What do you think about the pressure for the second album by Wet Leg? I think they're like having brawls in the studio because they're under so much pressure. It's like they had indie rock stardom so fast. You know, the second album.
The real question is, were they ever indie?
I know.
Or were they just popped?
I know. It's kind of crazy.
They kind of just popped.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty crazy. All right. We're two for two, right?
Yes, we are. But we aren't finished combing the world, are we?
We're not finished.
We got to get in that private jet with Taylor Swift and move quickly to another continent.
Use lots of emissions while we're doing that?
That's right.
And we're going to go to, is it pronounced Utrecht?
I guess so.
Utrecht, Netherlands.
Originating from the central Utrecht music scene.
Exactly.
Back in 2012. As everyone knows, that was quite a scene.
You know, we should might as well look at the weather in Utrecht, Netherlands. Looks like it's going to be kind of gloomy with a high of 50 Fahrenheit for the next 10 days. We better look at the averages. In case you're thinking of going to Utrecht to see this band we're about to talk about, pretty temperate climate. Hottest month, high 73. Coldest month, high 42. So fair amount of rain, but 10 days out of the month, about one-third of the days it rains, which seems like a lot, kind of.
Hello, and welcome to Will's Weather Report of the Week.
Right, we're giving the weather everywhere. But also, it's also fun to have a kind of a context, so people, I don't know if people have heard of Utrecht before, I hadn't. But if you look at the map, it's really not that far from Amsterdam. Or
I don't think
Rotterdam or The Hague.
The Netherlands is very far from anything else, but I mean,
it's kind of true.
It's down there in the sort of in the southeast, would you say, of the Netherlands?
If I'm reading this map right, it's kind of like the west central.
Oh, okay.
And then Rotterdam's a little southwest, and Amsterdam's a little northwest. Mm-hmm. So anyway, now that'd be a cool country to go to. I've never been to. I mean, most countries I've never been to. All right. The band is called the Maureens, and they sound – should we just spill it what they sound like, or should we play something? I was actually thinking of maybe playing something before we even said where they were from, but I spilled that one already. So, but they sound like 70s rock meets teenage fan club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That sounds about right.
A lot of harmony vocals and guitar rock that doesn't rock too hard, and just kind of, you know, really melodic and interesting. Like not quite
bit of a kind of a Belle and Sebastian meets Second Grade.
Oh, there you go. That's another one. Yeah, not bad. Okay, the Maureens. I think I picked a track. Unless you're anxious to pick the first one.
No. Go either way. You can go right ahead.
Well, I have to
put on.
I went straight for track two again, so here we go. Lost and Found.
Seconds before we go, I miss you so, and I can sleep
Yeah, that definitely has a teenage fan club sound to it. You put a pin in that one.
The album is called Everyone Smiles, and yep, definitely. It's 13 songs, 36 minutes, so kind of it breezes along.
Breezes by. Floats on a little cloud of, wait, what did they say on their statement? The Maureens are the perfect soundtrack for a late summer night, though the band gives you the feeling, that feeling, just as easily on a Sunday afternoon in February. There you go.
There you go. Here's a, you want to hear a fun trivia item about the Maureens?
I'm ready.
They're on Meritorio Records,
mm-hmm.
which means they are label mates with Red Pants.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that cool or what?
So Red Pants could open for them on the next Maureens tour. That's great. Or vice versa.
Absolutely, yeah. Maybe the Maureens should come by to play on that gig in March that Jason's playing. They could just swing by. Their label mates are playing.
Or maybe they should book a European tour and invite Red Pants on.
Yeah, well, I think that would be better, yeah. Yep. You'd have to bring the kids. That's what you can do, Jason. Just bring the kids. Think of they'd have the time of their lives. Or they would, man, I was talking to a friend the other day. I was like, maybe my wife is telling me about this, about a mutual friend. But, you know, they went on some, yeah, it was a neighbor of ours. So they went on this just amazing trip. And they were in Portugal and Spain and Scotland and their daughter was like, can't we just go home? You know, some people just want to be home, you know? So, I think...
Was that daughter like 14? Because that sounds like something a 14-year-old would say.
Probably in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, maybe a little younger, but I'm not sure. Yeah. So, I don't know. Jason's daughters are cool, though. They could go on a rock and roll tour. Think about that. That'd be great.
Well, one of them, I think, could even play.
Yeah. Pound on the drums.
Sit in with the band.
Yep. She could join the... She could jam with the Linda Lindas, right?
Right. Oh, right. I forgot to mention that I had an idea for a festival.
Oh, it was bands with the named after a woman's first name, right?
Yeah, well, the Beths can headline this festival, and they can be supported by the Maureens, the Courtneys, and the Linda Lindas. Did you come up with any others that we can slot in there?
I was thinking that I should, and then I forgot to. There have to be more.
I know there are more.
Yeah.
They're all great bands, though. I mean, they're all yeah. great.
Yeah, it's a good association.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Your turn, David. What are we going with?
Oh, the one essential, I thought, on this record. Song called Fall in Love, which, what is that, number three?
Number four.
Number four.
When the bells are ringing loud, boy, I am a good pretender. It surely hits.
Come undone. Baby, love is the only one.
Maureen's. That is a catchy one.
Mm, that is good.
Fun stuff.
Now it's up to you to pick one more.
Yeah, I have a couple to choose from. I definitely had that one in my top tier also. So that's great. We're in sync here. But all right. This is a fun one. It has a little bit of kind of odd mixing to it, which is kind of cool and kind of fun, I think. Not the Elvis Costello song with the same name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Allison.
Yeah, it's a good one.
The Maureen's. Yeah, I think when they get to that chorus and they do that little staccato guitar kind of thing, and it's like, wait, that's a little different. But it's just catchy, the whole thing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we could add the Ophelias to that bill with the Maureen's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I don't know if the Be Good Tanyas are still around, but they could be in there too. I don't know.
Does that count, or if you're a purist, you can, the Be Good eliminates it, right? Well, then there's Cindy, but then they're not the Cindys. We lost you, but you're back.
Sorry, I just lost power.
Is there a thunderstorm in Brooklyn?
0%, I guess. That's what happens.
We lost you again. So
just the battery.
Oh, the battery.
No. Yeah.
Dreaded battery.
I just lost it.
All right, let's see. Did we do justice to the Maureen's?
I think so.
Yeah.
Are they, in fact, the second or the third Dutch band we've ever talked about? I know there's Pitbull.
Yeah.
And who else? I think there's another, but it's been totally memory hole.
There must have been others, but they haven't been that common. Yeah. Seems like a cool part of the world. There should be more cool bands, like, you know, also Belgium and, you know, all those European countries. Yeah.
There's so many Swedish bands.
True, yeah.
Talked about over the years. And I don't know if are there more people in Sweden than the Netherlands?
Good question.
I think Sweden is basically, you know, has no population to speak of outside of Stockholm. So, or Stockholm and Gothenburg, that's about it. You know, everything else is just kind of pretty empty.
All right, the population of Sweden is 10.42 million people.
Okay.
And the Netherlands.
I bet the Netherlands is a lot bigger.
17.5 million.
Okay.
So there you go. They need more indie rock representation.
That's right. Based on that, we should have already talked about at least a dozen Dutch bands.
Now I want to know how many, what the population of Belgium is. It's 11.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting.
But have we ever talked about a Belgian band? That's a leading question. I have a feeling we did recently,
so.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Brussels, isn't that where Capsuna was from?
That's
Jason
right.
I talked about, yeah.
So, like, that, what was that, a week ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
So there you go.
There you go. Belgium is on the board.
Yep. And they even said something nice about us having, you know, talking about them on the podcast. So that was cool. They appreciated it. So that's good. They're not as big as Taylor Swift yet. Maybe we should just review Taylor Swift so that she'll mention us. And then we'll have total stardom, podcasting stardom. You know how bad? I want to give an example of how bad the Taylor Swift phenomenon is. There was a blip. It wasn't like a huge thing, I don't think. Well, I don't know if I even read it, but I read the little headline from the Madison newspaper. And it was somebody who used to live in Madison sat near Taylor Swift at the Grammys. Mm. That was his news story, that somebody wow. sat like behind her or something.
Mm-hmm.
Come
mm-hmm.
on! It's terrible. Okay. That's it. 3 for 3. And the listeners are completely happy because they got their $0 worth.
That's right.
And so they'd be,
we can sign off now, right?
If we were completely done, they'd be completely happy. And yet we offer even more.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
You got one ready for me to queue up?
Well, I was thinking probably a good thing to do would be to play something from this brand new Torres album, because it's so good. And as I said, this was basically the entire concert that I went to. So the album is called, what is the album called? The album is called
What an Enormous Room.
Right. And that's the song.
The title track. Usually you can't go wrong with the title track, except there's not one.
Oh, sorry.
I don't see
it. What an Enormous Room is a line in the song, but it is not the title of the song. Let's see if we got it right here. Yes, it's called Jerk. She made a joke about this at the concert. It's called Jerk Into Joy.
What an enormous room. What an enormous room. Look at all the dancing I can do. Look at all the dancing I can do. What an enormous room. What an enormous room. Look at all the dancing I can do. Look at all the dancing I can do. Jerk into joy when the light goes out. Jerk into joy when plans go south. I didn't sing today because I didn't have a song in my heart. It's our third spring in the house, our first without you. If I could get out of my way, maybe I'd find a place to start. When I can't pull the words from my mouth, I've got
Torres from the album What an Enormous Room.
Mackenzie Scott, amazing voice. Just the way she like hits those high notes and then like pulls back into a different register. It's just, I can't describe it very well, but it's just gorgeous.
So what level of indie rock stardom does she have? How big of a venue did she play?
Oh, I think she has the opposite problem of not. She hasn't. She does not get the size audience she deserves yet. She was playing a pretty modest. She said, "This is the biggest venue that I think I played as a headliner, and it was I don't know what it holds. Maybe 600, 700.
Huh?
Is it not a big place?
She just seems to be very. I don't know.
To us, she's very big, but
yeah, very self-assured kind of. Like every album she comes out with, it just seems like she's this really sort of in command. You know, really confident as a performer.
Yeah.
So it just makes me think like she'd be drawing bigger audiences. So, well, good. She's still rocking.
Yes.
And encouraging to know.
I think she's moving up the scale, but
yeah.
Nope. Hasn't left indie stardom behind by any means. Not yet.
All right. Okay, I'm gonna play a band that has achieved indie rock stardom. Listening to the Maureen's album, of course, I mentioned this. They sound so much like Teenage Fan Club. And then I kind of remembered that Teenage Fan Club put an album out in September, and we didn't talk about it.
I know.
I listened to it, and I kind of like just other things took priority. And I listened to it a little bit more, and I thought, you know, they're still kind of quiet for me. I still always want them to rock more. But their harmonies, it's just uncanny how much the Maureens sound like Teenage Fan Club if you go back and listen to some Teenage Fan Club. So here's a track from their album, their most recent album from September of 2023 called Nothing Lasts Forever. And it's always easy to go with track two, so let's do it. It's called Tired of Being Alone. And think of that Maureen's album when you listen to this. There you go. Teenage Fan Club.
Yeah, definitely right in the same wheelhouse.
Yep, definitely. Now we really have gone well above $0. And we did it reasonably efficiently, although man, the days of keeping it under an hour, that's hard because we have just too much content. So people can always do the speed up thing. You can do that thing where it plays like double speed so we just talk super fast. Right?
Yeah, I think we should try that.
It would make the music sound kind of bad, though, if you
music
did that.
Music would sound terrible, yes. Well, I think we should go on now and just preview, I don't know, maybe 70 or 80 of those bands that are on our list. Just one song each.
Right. Like a seven-hour podcast.
There's an official South by Southwest playlist.
Right.
And they keep adding as they add artists, they keep adding a track for each of them.
There's too many.
You know how long the playlist is right now?
Let's see, it'd be the total. But
I don't know how many tracks, but I know how long it takes to play
the whole. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to tell you. They're probably up to about, 600 tracks at 3 minutes. Divide, that's 20 per minute. 600 divided by 20. 30 hours.
Well, not bad. It's 48 hours.
Okay.
48-hour playlist so far, and it's going to be bigger. So.
48 hours. Well, you have to use the – one thing I've found that you just have to do is you have to do the genre-specific search. So I search the ones that say punk first. Then I go to the alternative. Then I go to the indie rock. Then I go to maybe some of the singer-songwriter.
Yes.
And that way, you know, you can kind of – there's some reasonable curating or whatever, cutting it down
that's
you can do.
That's true. But if you're just going off the playlist, you can't do that because the playlist doesn't tell you that. It just gives you a little thumbnail, you know, shot. Of
and them. You could just put it on and just hit the forward button if it's something you know you're not going to like. So, yeah. Well, that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, for 48 hours.
Yep.
Straight.
But if you cut 2 out of 3, if you just cut them in the first 10 seconds, then it's down to only 16 hours, right?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point there.
All right.
16 hours. I mean, you know, two 8-hour days and you're done until they add more artists.
Yeah. And plus you're only hearing them one time. So who knows if you,
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, David. Stay in touch. Maybe we'll come on. Maybe we'll get you on one more time before we go to Austin, so we can do a little thing like that where we can play, like, I don't know, 15 tracks or something by just intriguing bands. Might be fun. Something like that. We'll figure something out.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.